The Beatles story is more than a tale of musical success. It's a cultural revolution told through the eyes of four working-class lads who changed everything. What makes their narrative so compelling is its authenticity. This isn't a story filtered through journalists or industry executives, but the raw, unfiltered experiences of John, Paul, George, and Ringo themselves. Their journey from Liverpool obscurity to unprecedented fame offers not just entertainment, but profound insights into creative collaboration, cultural transformation, and the price of celebrity. As we explore their evolution, we discover not just a band, but a phenomenon that continues to resonate across generations, influencing everything from music production to fashion, art, and social attitudes. In 1950s Liverpool, John Lennon balanced rebellion with creative ambition. "I used to think I must be a genius, but nobody noticed." Paul McCartney found his calling through Elvis on Radio Luxembourg. "After hearing him, I thought him nothing else but rock and roll." They met at a church fete where John's Quarrymen performed. Paul impressed John by playing 20 Flight Rock, while George Harrison joined after demonstrating Raunchy. Despite lacking training or connections, they shared an unshakable confidence. "I grew up in Hamburg, not Liverpool," John later reflected. In Hamburg's red light district, the Beatles played grueling 8-hour sets at clubs like the Indra and Kaiserkeller. They lived in a cramped, unheated room behind a cinema screen with minimal amenities. This crucible forged their musical identity. Performing for sailors, gangsters, and prostitutes developed their commanding stage presence. Ringo first encountered them here while playing with another band. Hamburg also introduced them to Astrid Kircher and Klaus Voormann, who exposed them to existentialism, modern art, and European fashion, including the famous Beatle haircut inspired by German art students. Brian Epstein, a local record store manager, discovered the Beatles after customers requested their records. "He looked efficient and rich," Paul recalled. Brian improved their bookings, doubled their pay, and polished their act, suggesting they bow after performances and stop eating on stage. Their breakthrough came when "Please Please Me" hit number one in February 1963. John had written it as a slow, Roy Orbison-style number until George Martin suggested speeding up the tempo. After recording it, Martin declared, "You've got your first number one." Success brought chaos. Fans jumped on them and overturned vans. Their first album was recorded in one 12-hour session, with Twist and Shout nearly destroying John's voice after just two takes. America proved their ultimate conquest. Their 1964 Ed Sullivan Show appearance drew 73 million viewers, about 40% of the American population. Their haircuts made as much impact as their music, with parents insisting they're wearing wigs. By 1966, touring became unbearable. Ringo explained they couldn't hear themselves over screaming crowds. At Candlestick Park on August 29, 1966, they silently acknowledged their final concert, taking photos between songs with their backs to the audience. Freed from touring, the Beatles embraced studio experimentation. Rubber Soul, 1965, marked their first artistic shift, with John's songwriting becoming more personal in My Life. George Martin recalled these as enormously happy times with playful vocal sessions. Revolver, 1966, pushed boundaries further. For Tomorrow Never Knows, they created unique tape loops, and John's voice was processed through a Leslie speaker for a metallic vibrato, like the Dalai Lama chanting from a hilltop. The invention of artificial double tracking allowed doubled vocals without re-recording. Sgt. Pepper, 1967, became their most ambitious work. Paul conceived the alter ego band concept after visiting America, influenced by elaborate West Coast band names. They spent 6 months recording with George Martin applying his experimental background. As Martin noted, while he had introduced them to new sounds before, for Sgt. Pepper, they wanted every trick brought out of the bag. The album's iconic cover featured their personas amid cultural heroes, a concept Paul developed through his friendship with art dealer Robert Fraser. Upon completion, Paul felt vindicated against critics who suggested they were drying up. After Brian Epstein's death in August 1967, the Beatles established Applecore. It was like the wind down to a divorce, Ringo later reflected. George explained how the hippie era's optimism led them to believe they could create a new business model that would help others avoid exploitation. In May 1968, Paul and John announced Apple in New York as "Send Us Your Huddled Talent." The concept allowed artists to present ideas for potential funding if approved by any Beatle. Apple's headquarters at 3 Savile Row housed the record division, basement studio, and individual offices for each Beatle. Despite discovering talents like Mary Hopkin and John Tavener, Apple lost money rapidly. George considered it an expensive lesson against partnerships, feeling he and Ringo were dragged into John and Paul's costly ideas. The post-Brian chaos allowed every weirdo in the country space at Savile Row, including Hare Krishnas and Hell's Angels. The Let It Be sessions began in January 1969 under the working title Get Back, with plans to film the Beatles rehearsing new material and performing live. It showed how the breakup of a group works, Paul reflected. We didn't realize that we were actually breaking up as it was happening. After shelving these troubled recordings, they returned to Abbey Road with George Martin to make a good album again. The album featured a medley of song fragments with an operatic structure and highlighted George's songwriting with Something and Here Comes the Sun. Ringo observed, after the Let It Be nightmare, Abbey Road turned out fine. On August 22, 1969, they gathered for what would become their final photo session. Shortly after, John formed the Plastic Ono Band, performed in Toronto, his first major performance outside the Beatles, and announced he wanted to end the band. I started the band, I disbanded it. It's as simple as that. The breakup affected each Beatle uniquely. John saw the band as a trap, George felt liberation, Ringo found it traumatic, and Paul retreated to Scotland for nearly a year, battling feelings of worthlessness. Despite their separate paths, they remained forever connected. As Paul noted, we're the only four people who've seen the whole Beatlemania bit from the inside out. Their legacy transformed both music and culture, having freed people from an upper-class world. Most remarkably, their music continues resonating with new generations. Paul expressed pride seeing young people moved by decades-old songs like Let It Be. Their message of love, peace, and authenticity speaks to universal human experiences. The Beatles' journey from Liverpool to global phenomenon shows how four ordinary young men created something magical together. As George hoped, fans have grown up but still keep a space in their hearts for us, a space now occupied by generations who continue discovering their music. In the end, as John sang, all you need is love.